Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
Naomi Klein said, "Democracy is not just the right to vote, it is the right to live in dignity." For months, elected officials and their challengers have presented their cases to Rhode Island voters. And by late this evening, hundreds of thousands of the Ocean State citizens will have had their say in how power and influence will be shaped for the coming years. Throughout these last months, together, you, the listeners, and I have become more informed voters and activists by trying to evaluate both the policies and the human beings behind many of the names that appear on the ballot in Rhode Island today. Whatever voters decide today, let's hope that their choices are based on facts and conviction, not distortion and half-heartedness. Politics is Rhode Island's national sport, and today, Tuesday, November 6th, is game day.
Welcome to Election Day in Rhode Island on the Bartholomew Town Podcast. From your election headquarters in Providence, Rhode Island, here's your host, Bill Bartholomew.
Election Day in Rhode Island, coming at you from Providence. Bill Bartholomew here along with Ben DeCastro and Kobe Dennis. A very good afternoon to you. Hopefully you've already gone out there and voted. If you haven't, we'll get you caught up with all the latest headlines, plus some exclusive interviews. And let's get right to it with our panel. Kobe, high turnout today already. We've seen already 100,000 voters reported by the by the Board of Canvasses.
Wow.
What does that say? It's a little bit rainy here. What are you thinking?
It shows that the people really want some change, Bill. I mean, first of all, thanks for having me back on. I look forward to coming on, even with all the noises in the window and outside. We still love it here.
Well, it's true.
That's the
Elmwood
city. We love it. It's real city stuff here. But it shows that people really are looking for some change, and I'm hoping they get out and rock the vote.
Ben, we typically midterms, you don't have that the fanfare surrounding a presidential election. But Rhode Island, you know, it's the national sport here, politics. A lot of people had seen this in the closing weeks in terms of the gubernatorial race as not being much of a contest anymore, but we've seen some polling numbers come out from Joe Trillo. Alan Fung thinks he's making a big push. Your take on the governor's race?
Yeah, I think that overall, I think it really did ramp up. What we thought was going to be a standard race, really just somebody threw gasoline on the fire, and it really just it went in a whole different direction. I think that the amount of people showing up to the polls is because of a few things. It's just a reflection of the national atmosphere and the national election, because all across the country, voting is up. And if you think this election's big, wait till 2 years from now, because that's going to be, I think that'll be even better, which, by the way, I'm excited about. I think it's great when people get involved, get in interested, and really thrown into this system. The only other thing that I hope is that people get encouraged to run. Have the intestinal fortitude to do what my friend Kobe did here and make a go at it. That is the ultimate sign of leadership, is to make a go at it.
Absolutely. And Kobe, you ran for mayor of Providence. You've now thrown your support behind independent candidate Dee Dee Whitman. You know, she threw $500,000 into her campaign account.
Right.
She has some public sector union endorsements. She seems to be running a substantial grassroots campaign. There's even some television. What do you see as happening in terms of voter turnout and how that will impact Ms. Whitman this afternoon and this evening?
Well, as Ben was just saying and alluded to, it has a lot to do with the national implications. That's pretty much what's happening. It's ramping up. It's just like the gubernatorial race. It was a kind of a slow start. I mean, she came out kind of late out the gate, but oh my goodness, she has hit the streets running. And right now people are excited. People are talking about it. The commercials are great. I think they're right on the money because they're the truth. She's showcased the type of, you know, administration she's going to run. All of her commercials have been very diverse. They've been very direct. Yes, some shots at the mayor, but I think he deserved a lot of it. But pretty much, I think Diane Dede Whitman has an amazing chance to finish strong.
At the same time, Ben, Jorge Elorza has been in the driver's seat this entire campaign season, hasn't really been out there campaigning at full speed at any point in time, really in the driver's seat in the sense that he feels like he's in control of this campaign without doing a ton of on the ground work. So it seems he certainly hasn't been that open with the media. Where do you see this race at the Providence mayoral level?
I think this, again, it's another one of those situations where because of Ms. Whitman's, you know, entry, late entry into the race, I mean, really it for all intent and purposes, she was really last minute here in the grand scheme of things. But I wonder if that's just a reflection on the whole, just the mindset of the general public. We're in a Facebook world. We're in an instant gratification world where we're not thinking about it till the last minute. And so her coming in at that point, maybe she didn't need all that lead up. Maybe that changes the way things go. But I think that there was such a very diverse conversation leading up to it. When I made reference that, you know, Mr. Dennis Kobe here was part of the race, I meant no disrespect that he lost in the primaries. I think it's one of the most honorable things. You and I sat down months before,
absolutely,
and you said, you know, hey, what do you think? And I gave you my thoughts. I think that anybody who's going to take that step deserves a lot of credit, because that's a sacrifice. It's a huge, huge grind. And then for him to not just walk away, you know, take his bat and ball and go home. No, he stuck it out. He's still working out here. And I think that's great. I can't tell you how much respect I have for that position. The mayoral race, Providence, it needs something. And if Elorza wins re-election, it's not going to be by much, my prediction. I'm not, you know, take it for what it's worth. It's not going to be by much. And if he does win, he needs to take that as a serious, serious wake-up call.
And we'll get to that in just a matter of moments, elected or rejected. 5,000 votes, 20% of the overall vote. Mr. Dennis, you're well-positioned for 2022. What is it like to be out there campaigning on the ground, and how do you think that what did you hear, you know, during this campaign season that you think is going to translate into votes this election day?
Bill, we, and sorry to cut you off, we just invigorated a whole new crowd of voters. I mean, even now, walking around helping out with the Dede Whitman campaign, people are thanking me. People are apologizing that I'm still not on the ballot. And I take that as, man, that's pretty good that people really are noticing and getting involved. I've also had 2 to 3 people come up to me just today and say, hey, you know what? I'm running for state rep. I'm running for city council. Hey, I may even throw my hat in for mayor in 22. You know, I may go against you because I'm coming back. So that's another thing, too. People have to know that this is not the end of Kobe Dennis. I'm coming back strong, very, very strong. I'm more knowledgeable. I know my way around just a little bit more. You know, I'm going to keep hanging around guys like Ben and yourself, and we're going to rock and roll in 22.
I appreciate that. And speaking of strong, the Democratic Party strong up and down the ticket here in Rhode Island. When you look at the lieutenant gubernatorial race, basically Dan McKee has that locked up without any serious challenge. When you go to Secretary of State Nelly Gorbia, same thing. General Treasurer, no question about it. Seth Magaziner has done a better job of laying out his case than Michael Riley, and right, he'll certainly sweep the vote.
Sure.
Let's take a listen now. I caught up just a few moments ago with Attorney General candidate Peter Nerona, other than Compassion Party candidate Alan Gordon. Mr. Nerona running unopposed, wondering if he's going to get 80% of the vote.
A lot of the pundits are predicting you may achieve the 80% mark today. How does that feel for you?
Oh, I don't know about that. You know, I hope to have the confidence of the voters in the end. It's but it's been a great year. Really got to know a lot more, frankly, about myself, about Rhode Island, about the people who live here. A lot has happened in the last year, but I feel like I'm a very, in a sense, a very different person. Just have had much more contact with Rhode Islanders from all over the state, and hopefully that'll serve me well if I do gain their confidence today.
What's been the most eye-opening thing for you as you've gone around the state? You know, it's not that you haven't done that in the past, but going around in the capacity of running for Attorney General.
I'm a lifelong Rhode Islander, but, you know, sitting with voters, you know, almost daily for over a year, you really do get, you know, a couple of impressions. One is how diverse the state is. And that's a great thing. You know, we have such a broad range of kinds of people and different viewpoints, and people aren't afraid to express them. And one of the great things about a small state is people want to see the people who are running for office. You don't just reach them through media. So that's been great. You know, and look, I grew up here and I have spent most of my life here, but there are still pockets of Rhode Island I hadn't seen. And so that's been great too. But most of it is, you know, you always want to feel like you have a plan for what you'll do if you get elected. But that plan, and I've said this a bunch of times, is only as good as it's informed by the people you're hoping to serve. And that has really helped me. You know, I've learned things about, say, wage theft that I didn't know a lot about. We did a little bit of that work when I was youth attorney, but there's plainly more work to do there. You know, the things that people care about, healthcare and energy policy and consumer issues. You know, there's the public safety function of the AG's office, which is so important. So I've learned a lot. It's been a great experience.
What are you looking forward to most today as far as learning just generally where Rhode Island voters are at, seeing how other Democrats do in this, you know, this election cycle and just the pulse of the state? How is that going to impact how you go forward?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, what would be really encouraging to me, frankly, is if we have a large turnout, regardless of how people vote. Obviously, I'm supporting my fellow Democrats, and it's a great team this year. One of my mentors in the White House is running, obviously, and you know, somebody who's really helped me along the way in my career. But I really hope that Rhode Islanders will turn out to vote today. It's so important. I was speaking to some young people at Year Up last week, and they're engaged. And my message to them was, as we had a great conversation, was, boy, you know, talk to people who maybe are not as engaged as you are. You know, they're the future. Young people are the future of this country. We've got to take sort of ownership of it. They've got to take ownership of it, because they may live to see the end of the century, God willing. And, you know, it's so important to participate. And I really hope that our turnout today is high.
This is Election Day in Rhode Island on the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
All right, back here with our panel, Ben DeCastro, Colby Dennis, it's Bill Bartholomew. Let's look at the Speaker of the House situation going on in House District 15. That may be the most contentious race. Stephen Frias, will he find those elusive 86th, 87th votes, the mail ballots, the whole story? Ben DeCastro, what's going to be down in House District 15 tonight?
Well, the earlier reports were that the mail-in ballots were not as strong as they had been in past years. I think that is a huge, huge indicator on anything having to do with this race. And the back and forth that's gone behind there, I always find it funny when people ask me, you know, hey, can I vote for, you know, how do I vote for Mr. Frias, or how do I vote for Mr. Mattiello? Well, you live in Westerly, so you really can't.
Right.
But I've gotten more of those questions from people, friends of mine that I know, because they know I'm a little bit more involved, and they want to, like, well, wait a second, how does that work? So people are thinking about it, and if people are thinking about it outside this district, outside of the district, you know they're definitely thinking about it inside the district. I would have to guess that they're going to have one of the highest voter turnouts in that district than they've ever had.
Colby, your thoughts?
And I just think, first of all, this mail ballot thing, and I'll be straightforward with that. First of all, I think it's a sham. Some of the smartest people I know, some of the smartest, most intelligent people in Rhode Island still don't know all the rules to the mail ballot. The fact that we can't vote early, that has an impact, but I think Mr. Frias has a wonderful chance. I hope his chance is better than that to upseat definitely Mr. Mattiello, for sure.
Yeah, and certainly he has the support of not only conservatives, but progressives who have been out there, sure, on the ground trying to rally the troops for Republican Stephen Frias.
And let's not forget that Mattiello getting elected is only his first hurdle. We are already seeing far earlier than we've ever heard of it in past recent history, about getting the nod from his, you know, his colleagues up there at the House. Who knows if he makes it past the election, if he even will retain the speakership? I honestly don't think that'll happen.
And by the way, some Rhode Island political magic for you. The number of votes that Speaker Mattiello needs in the House to retain the speakership, 38.
Whoa.
Look out.
Wow.
The beautiful number.
It comes back to hit you all the time.
It does. Oh. All right, we're going to catch up right now with a man who ran for governor. He was in the Republican primary this year, and he has also been, he was at one point the youngest state senator in the United States. It's Giovanni Faroci. Catch up with him right now.
Well, obviously, I'm really, you know, hopeful that Mayor Fung can do the things that needed to get done to get out the vote and come out victorious tonight. I think it's important for Rhode Island. I believe that, you know, if we continue to shift to the left, we're going to get to a point of no return. So, you know, my my thought has always been whoever wins the primary on the Republican side would have the best shot at being the next governor and to unseat Gina Raimondo. So I hope that, you know, everyone does show up to the polls and votes and gets Alan elected.
What kind of path to victory would Alan Fung be looking at, in your opinion, if he were able to pull this off today?
I think that he needs to really have the, what I call, you know, everyday family, meaning those that likely don't pay attention, you know, to politics in a positive or negative way on a daily basis. Those that, you know, just kind of going to work, running their life, running their kids around, going to school, doing the things they need to do to get by, who, you know, will in fact go vote. And then when they look at options, realize that there's an opportunity for us to, you know, have a better situation in Rhode Island. And if he was able to, you know, have the people out there, you know, canvassing, working for him. I know he worked hard going to shake hands and getting to meet people, coupled with any advertising that, in fact, at the end of the day, you know, when people actually got in the booth and voted, that they would, it would likely go for change. People really want change. It's just you have to give them a reason for it. And I think there are enough reasons for change. I just, you know, hope that people don't go for a momentary kind of comfort level, because there has been a better economy, obviously, in the last couple of years, to where they forget what it can be like. And if we get a big spender in there for another 4 years, like Governor Raimondo, who will have no reason to not spend more, given that she's term limited, could really be a disaster for Rhode Island. And I hope that, you know, he's able to get the everyday Rhode Islander to kind of understand that, and when it comes time to vote, they go do that.
What about Joe Trillo? He announced that his internal polls show he's at 33%, well ahead of Mayor Fung, who he has at 21%. Do you buy those numbers at all, or do you see any path to victory for Joe Trillo today?
No, I don't know where he would possibly get numbers like that. And you know, I'm not one to want to knock anybody or say negative things. I mean, everybody has a right to run, and they can do their best. But, you know, I see no real indications whatsoever that he would be polling above single digits. And I just don't believe that to be the case. And so, for me, if you want to make a change, you need to vote for Alan Fung.
Last question. Bob Flanders has run a good campaign, maybe got a late start. Do you think he'll make any kind of significant impact, even if he doesn't win today, just as he set himself up for something in the future, perhaps, if he's not able to pull off a stunner over Senator Whitehouse?
Well, I think Judge Flanders is a really, really smart, you know, guy with a tremendous background, experienced. And I think, you know, he's the right man to be a senator for Rhode Island. When that happens, you know, I guess we'll see if it's tonight or in the future. But I do believe he is U.S. Senate caliber material, and he should pursue it and keep knocking on that door until he knocks it down. You know, most people jump around. I'm not a fan of that. You either should, you know, run for the job and keep going until you get it, or do something else. It shouldn't just be, you know, a popularity contest. That's what I'm against. So for me, Bob Flanders is a great guy, smart guy. I've got to know him a little bit more this year, and I wish him well. And obviously, I hope he pulls it off tonight, which you never know, because, you know, a lot of people might not say they're supporting him overtly, yet when they get in the booth, might do something differently. But, you know, he should pursue the U.S. Senate.
Last question. Will we see your name thrown into the ring of candidates for 2022? We've heard Jorge Elorza, Nelly Gorbea, Peter Noronha on the Democratic side. How about you? Are you going to be back there fighting for the nomination in 2022?
Well, I would certainly say keep my name in the mix, but, you know, for me, it's going to be making sure that, you know, I prove in the private sector that my message was the right one and that, in fact, Rhode Island had an opportunity to eliminate the personal income tax, to focus on blockchain technology and pass the Blockchain Center Development Act that I wrote, and to create, you know, a new economy for Rhode Island. But the reality is they didn't do that. And so I'll take my talent, you know, into the private sector, hopefully execute, you know, a great business that can show what I was saying was, in fact, doable. And if I'm in the financial position to really not worry about fundraising whatsoever, and just focus on continuing to build on my message and have the people of Rhode Island understand that the caliber of person they need to lead is, in fact, someone like me. And I, although understand completely that this year was not the one for me, that decision's been made, that they can, in fact, have someone as experienced as I am and who has the broad range of understanding on how to rebuild Rhode Island, come back and build a new economy for Rhode Island, and hopefully 4 years won't be too late, which I don't think it will be. I think we'll still have an opportunity. So, yeah, I'll definitely look at things in the future, but for now I'm focused on the private sector and going to go chase that B. I'm going to try and be a billionaire. I mean, it might sound funny to people, but that's what I've been trying to do, and I'm starting from scratch, and we'll see if I can do it. But if I do it, and I hope I would have newfound, supporters who would understand, wow, he really does know what he's doing, and we should listen to him.
Giovanni Faroci, thanks for your time. Happy Election Day, and good luck to you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for everything you added this year. And, hope everyone out there in Rhode Island has a wonderful, rest of the year as we go into the holidays. And wish everybody well in their future for themselves and their families. Take care.
This is Election Day in Rhode Island on the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
All right, you're listening to Election Day in Rhode Island here on the Bartholomew Town Podcast. It's Bill Bartholomew. Stick with the Bartholomew Town Podcast all throughout election afternoon and evening. We'll be broadcasting live from the Biltmore Hotel in downtown Providence at 7 p.m. on 990wbob.com. And then throughout the entire evening, follow Instagram at Bartholomewtown or join the Bartholomewtown Podcast Facebook group. We have teams roving about Newport and Providence. Camera crews and myself, Dave Flamon, will be hosting all the action down in Newport. So stick around. We have wall-to-wall coverage for you. A different look than you're going to get anywhere else at tonight's activities. All right, wrapping it up. Rejected or whoa, holy Moses. Elected or rejected.
Get this guy some more coffee. He's right, got a long please. Night ahead.
No, I have this green mug right now. It has been full for most of the day. So, and I've been up, all morning getting ready for you guys to come and look out.
Ready.
Here we are. All right, elected or rejected. Let's start at the top. Senate.
I think I have to think that White House gets reelected.
Same, reelected White House. I mean, probably a landslide.
Let's look at the two congressional races: Langevin, Cicilline. What do you got?
I think we're seeing the same. No need to change the name on the doors.
Gotcha.
It's the lever.
No new drapes.
No.
All right, let's get down into the
down
muck,
into
if you will.
The muck.
All right, let's go to the gubernatorial level. How about Joe Trilla? Is he at 33%, or is this just the people he encounters at a Cumberland Stop and Shop parking lot?
I think that's a long shot. I think Trilla is a long shot, a very long shot.
Does the governor get 50%, Kobe?
Or more? No Trilla. It'll be Armando.
Yeah, I have to. I don't know. That one, to me, it's too close to call. I'm like CNN on that one. Too close to call. Not the fake news part, the real news part.
Providence mayoral race. I think I know where you're going, Kobe.
All right, let's go, Didi.
Yeah, I think DeeDee Whitman's going to pull a massive upset. It's going to be a wake-up call and a half.
Watch. Wow, watch out. We'll be watching that one very closely tonight, as we will with every election. House District 15, which has implications statewide, the Speaker of the House, that's his race. Will he stay in power? Will he retain his office, I guess, is the first question, Ben.
I think that's going to be a major upset as well. I really think that this is Frias's year.
I'm just hoping Frias has been trying for a while, and I'm hoping that this is upset. I just want a wake up call for the people of Rhode Island. We need to change. We need to shake it up. I'm rooting for them all the way.
Those are a couple of shakeups right there. When you really break it down, that's not a joke. When you break it down at any level, last area right here, elected or rejected nationally, we're going to go out there. Will the House be overtaken by Democrats nationwide?
Nationwide. After last election, who wants to make that prediction?
Alan Gordon may be, appointed Attorney General of the United States at this point.
I think so, but no, I think the Republicans going to maintain control of the House on a national level.
On a national level, yeah. Wishful thinking. I'm hoping that the Democratic, I'm hoping the Democrats hold it, but I mean, I think the Republicans are probably going to take over. Just by the way it's looking. I mean, I'm going off, media right now, so I don't know.
All right. Interesting picks out there. I'll hold my cards, and you'll have to tune in later.
Oh, elect or reject. Pumpkin spice. What do you got?
Oh, I got to reject that. I mean, I'm a nice coffee black.
I'm elect. I'm all black, but I'm right now with pumpkin season. no pun intended. but I am. Yes, I go black coffee, but I do love the pumpkin spice. Wow. I'm not going to lie.
You're not even wearing Uggs.
All right, look at that.
One thing I do wonder before we leave, paw socks, does that matter at this point? No effect on this election.
Honestly, I don't think it does.
I really don't think
it has a problem.
I don't think so, but I'm sad to see him go. I was a paw socks guy. I like the paw socks.
Yeah, given all the things we could talk about in the state, it's tough to see an election episode end with a question about the paw socks, but at the same time, it's been the defining issue in a lot of ways of this year, unfortunately.
I really think that it was a question that may have played any kind of role in the primaries, but people have a short-term memory and people are still high on the Boston Red Sox win.
That's it.
That could be the case. We'll see if that turns into high voter turnout, which we already have here. It is Tuesday afternoon. Special thanks to Kobe Dennis, Ben DeCastro,
my pleasure.
WPRO, many, many other places. You can find him on Instagram. What, Big Ben 401 over there?
Something like that.
Yeah.
In the next hour, you can find me at home making dinner.
Big Ben.
I'm Bill Bartholomew. Thank you so much for joining us on Election Day in Rhode Island on the Bartholomew Town podcast. Follow on Instagram at Bartholomew Town for continuing coverage throughout this Rhode Island Election Day and evening. Until next time, we'll talk soon.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.